بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله. Today is the 21st of April in the year 2021. And alhamdulillah, we've moved on to the ninth blessed day of the holy month of Ramadan. And we've reached verse 44 of Surah Nisa. So inshallah, today going through up to and including verse 46. So verse 44. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Have you not turned your vision to those who were given a portion of the book? They traffic in error and wish that you should also lose the right path. So in this holy verse, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He is talking about the Bani Israel. And look how He describes them. يَشْتَرُونَ الدَّلَالَ They are trafficking in error. Look how beautifully the Allah just says two words about them. Their business is misguidance. So imagine somebody selling you something. What are you selling? Misguidance. Allah Ta'ala goes, this is the Bani Israel. يَشْتَرُونَ الدَّلَالَ They traffic in misguidance and they wish you to lose the right path. So now, who's been referred to here? So there's a report. So this narration is recorded in Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 303 of the New English Translation. Tabari in his Tafsir, number 9689 or 8-428. Ibn Abi Hadim in his Tafsir, number 5381. So Ibn Ishaq, he relates from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Whenever Rifa'a ibn Zayd ibn At-Tabut, one of the chief of the Jews, talked to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would twist his tongue and he would say, Ra'ina, give us your ear, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we can understand you. But then he would slander and harmfully criticize Islam. Upon this, Allah the Almighty and Glorious revealed these three verses that we're going through. So we're going to the verse 45 and 6. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full knowledge of your enemies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough for a protector, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough for a help of the Jews. There are those who displace words from their right places and they say, we hear and we disobey. And hear, may you not hear. And ra'ina, with a twist of their tongues and a slander to faith. If only they had said, we hear and we obey and do hear and do look at us, it would have been better for them and more proper. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed them for their unbelief, and only a few of them will believe. So all these three verses we're going through today were revealed about this man. So what was he doing? He was basically twisting words. So he was intending something else, but outwardly he was intending something else. So Allah ta'ala revealed these verses, meaning they're trafficking in misguidance. Allah Ta'ala has knowledge, He is your protector, He is your helper, and He's going to deal with them. And then He says, only few of them will believe. So now what's interesting here, if you look at how Allah Ta'ala addresses them, He says, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا نَصِيبًا مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ Have you not turned your vision to those who were given a portion of the book? Like we say in English, when you're surprised at people, what do you say in English? Look at them. Look at how they're reacting. And that's the meaning here. Allah Ta'ala goes, look at them. In other words, you know, they're supposed to be people of scripture. So now there's another passage which is very similar to this. Surah 3 verse 23. So in Surah 3 verse 23, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says exactly the same words. He starts by saying, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا نَصِيبًا مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ Have you not turned your vision to those who have been given a portion of the book? So now, this narration adds details. So this is recorded In Ibn Abi Hatim, number 6619, Ibn al-Mundir, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Jarid, 6-289, Baghwi in Sharh al-Sunnah, Ad-Dur al-Mantur is Hassan, and Ruh al-Ma'ani. Our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he once went to Baytul Midras, the religious educational center of the Jews, where many Jews were gathered. So what's interesting, the Arabic and the Jewish language are sister languages. Midras, we say madrasa. So there is called the center of their scholarship, Midras. The Prophet went there, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he invited them towards Islam. Amongst them were two, Nu'man ibn Amr and Harith ibn Zayd. And they asked the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which religion are you following? The Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, replied, the religion of Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wa sallam. They argued, Ibrahim was a Jew, alayhi salatu wa sallam. To which the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told them, bring a copy of the Torah and let that decide. And they were reluctant to do this. They were averse to the idea of letting it be a judge between them. Upon which Allah the Almighty revealed Surah 3, verse 23 and 4. Translation. Have you not turned your vision to those who have been given a portion of the book? They are invited to the book of Allah to settle their dispute. But a party of them turned back and declined. Because they say the fire shall not touch us except for a few numbered days. For their forgeries deceive them as to their own religion. So Allah Ta'ala is saying it again. Because look at them. Meaning learn a lesson. The Bani Israel. So what did they say? Which religion do you follow? You ask a prophet of God that question. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, as if he was telling them, you're the children of Ibrahim just like me. So he goes, the religion of Ibrahim. And they made it into a race thing, like they always do. The race card. Because he was a Jew, meaning he didn't speak Arabic. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give me the Torah. Show me where. And they wouldn't do it. And then Allah Ta'ala says, they're turning away from the guidance. So here note the same words are used. So here in Surah Nisa, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, turn your vision to them. They traffic in misguidance. This is when they were twisting. They were twisting their words in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, if you look at verse 46, what do they say? Sami'na wa asayna, astaghfirullah. We hear and we disobey. We hear and we disobey. Now, what's interesting about the trait of the Bani Israel? They didn't even hide that from their Prophet. Because you go with your Lord and fight, we're sitting here. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told him to go to Jerusalem, he goes, you go with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll sit here. And what did the Sahaba say before Badr? Because we will never say that. We will say, you go, we're with you, Ya Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So the Bani Israel, Allah ta'ala showing to you their illnesses in the Quran. Because they're turning away from guidance, they're purchasing misguidance. They're twisting words. Have they changed? Right? Well, Allah is telling you, very few of them will believe. And what's interesting, do you get mass conversions amongst the Jews? No. Allah says, very few of them will believe. So now, this twisting of the words, you have to go to another verse of the Quran. Surah 2, verse 93. So in Surah Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 93, it mentions there. And in a nutshell, Allah, He's made the mountain float over them. He's given them the Torah. And what did they say? Look at the verse. قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَعَسَيْنَا. We hear and we disobey. Astaghfirullah. Imagine, Allah has taken a covenant from them. He's made a mountain. And they go, yeah, yeah, yeah. But then when we disobey. Then what does Allah say in the same verse? وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجْلَ بِقُفْرِهِمْ. They now had to drink into their hearts the calf because of their kufr. So Allah Ta'ala goes, this calf that they will mold out of, you know, gold, I'm going to make them drink it. It's going to enter their heart. What does that mean? In Abdul Razak ibn Abi Hatim ibn Katir's tafsir, Qatada rahmatullah alayhi said, he recited, وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجْلَ بِكُفْرِهِ. He explained, they absorbed its love until its love resided in their hearts. So what do you notice about the Bani Israel? Who are the most attached to dunya? It's them. Because of the curse. Allah Ta'ala goes, you bought it with misguidance. I'm going to make you drink it. And what's interesting, even in English, when you're angry with somebody, what do? Drink it. We're going to make you, meaning you're going to get tortured. So they think it's a blessing. The most wealthiest people on earth are the Bani Israel. But is it a blessing for them? Allah Ta'ala goes, I'm going to make you drink it because you've turned away from the guidance. So they've said it again because we hear and we disobey. What do we say? وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَعَطَعْنَا. We hear and we obey. The other thing, there's a report here. So the report is mentioned, is a hadith. I'll give you the relevant part. The hadith is in Nasai and Al-Bidayah. So in a nutshell, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he went to receive the commandments from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala added 10 days. So he says, I'm coming back after 30 days. But Allah Ta'ala told him, stay another 10 days. So when he didn't return, his people thought, oh, he's left us. He's abandoned us. So Samiri, he then said, give me your gold, give me your gold. He threw it into a ditch, got some of the dust of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam's horse, threw it into it, and it was a golden calf. He started making a noise. He goes, this is the God. This is your God. Because Moses has abandoned you. So what happened? The hadith says that when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam returned, he then ordered them to destroy the calf. And they were, when he ordered them to destroy it, those who worshipped it, a mark came upon them. And then the command goes, now they must kill each other. That is their repentance. So then the Quran says here that the calf, the love of the calf entered their heart because of their rejecting later on. So this happened first. Later on, they were told to go to Jerusalem. They did, because we hear and we disobey. Allah Ta'ala now goes, you're going to drink that calf. Meaning, I accepted the repentance of those who did it, who killed each other, but now you're going to drink it. So now when we look at this, we're thinking, Alhamdulillah, we're safe. No, we're not. In Daylami and Qanzul Oman, number 6259, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the calf of my ummah is the dinar and dirham. Meaning, you're going to worship it, but you're going to worship money. And isn't that true? People sell their deen for money. Right? So no, yes, we can laugh at the Bani Israel, but why is Allah Ta'ala talking about them so much? Because he's telling you, you're going to follow them. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, inch by inch, yard by yard, you're going to follow them. Meaning, don't laugh, otherwise you might end up in the same scenario. So note here, they said, سَمِعْنَا وَعَطَعْنَا سَمِعْنَا وَعَسَيْنَا. So now, another thing which is important to point out, if you look at verse 46, they say, وَأَسْمَعْ غَيْرَ مُسْمَعْ. Hear, may you not hear. Ibn Abbas explained that the Al-Lankhumah means, hear our words, may you never hear anything. Astaghfirullah. So when they talk to the Prophet, something goes, hear. When we talk, listen to us. But may you never hear anything. Meaning, we're not bothered about what you bring. So Allah Ta'ala calls them, وَأَسْمَعْ غَيْرَ مُسْمَعْ. Then what did they say? وَرَائِنَا. And ra'ina with a twist of their tongues. So what is this? Ra'ina. So there's a report. And this is recorded in Ibn al-Mundhir and others. Sudi rahmatullah alayhi, he said, there were two Jewish men named Malik ibn Asif and Rifa'a ibn Zaid. So these names you don't need to know. But what did I mention? Who were these three verses revealed for? One of the Jews. And which Jew was it? One of these. Rifa' ibn Zaid. So this report I'm mentioning, he's in this report as well. So don't forget, these three verses were revealed for him. But Sudi said, Malik ibn Saif and the same shaitan that these verses were revealed for, Rifa' ibn Zaid, they used to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they used to say to him, Ra'ina. The Muslims thought this was something that the Bani Israel used to glorify their prophets. And so they didn't think anything of this. Yet, Allah the Almighty then revealed, Surah 2 verse 104. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la taqulu ra'ina wa qulu unzurna wasma'u walil kafirina 'adhabun 'aleem. O you who believe, do not say ra'ina, say unzurna and listen. For the unbelievers, there is a painful punishment. So Allah Ta'ala exposed it. They were saying to the Prophet, ra'ina. So the Sahaba thought, oh, they're saying this out of respect, meaning we're listening, we want to listen to you. But that actually means a curse in Hebrew. So Allah Ta'ala says to the believers, don't you say that. Say unzurna. We're here at your service. And for the unbelievers, I've got a punishment ready. So who's one of them who would say that? The shaitan. Which I'm mentioning, these three verses were revealed for. In another report, it mentions, in Abu Nu'aym and his Dala'il Nubu'a, Qurtubi in his Tafsir, Ma'alim al-Tanzil, Ibn Abbas said, according to the Jews, the word ra'ina is the worst insult. So you can't do a worst insult than that. If you want to insult somebody to the greatest level, say ra'ina. When the Jews heard the companion saying to the Prophet ra'ina, because they meant it in a good way in Arabic. In Arabic it means, Ya Rasulullah, we're ready to listen. We're here at your service, you want to obey. When the Jews heard the Sahaba saying it, they started laughing in secret, the Jews. After the revelation of this verse, Surah 2 verse 104, Sa'd ibn Mu'ad was furious. And he went over to the Jews and he said, O enemies of Allah, Tawbana wa ta'ala, if this ever is uttered again by you, I will cut his throat. So let's look at this. So what happened? The Jews, they couldn't believe their luck. Because they're saying ra'ina. We're saying it as a curse. So they'd come to the Prophet. They goes, ra'ina, O Muhammad. And then they'd go back laughing. But then Allah Ta'ala revealed, he goes, their intention is they're twisting words. They're using their own language to insult you. So Sa'd ibn Mu'ad, the one who was martyred in the battle of the trench, the one for whom the earth shook, he got so angry. He went to the Jews, he goes, if I ever hear you say that word again, I'm going to kill you. They stopped, right? Because they knew Sa'd meant it, radiallahu. So note here, when Allah Ta'ala says, wasma ghayra musma, hear us, may you not hear, wa ra'ina, and ra'ina, with a twist of their tongues. Allah Ta'ala is exposing them, because these are the shaitans, be wary of them. So now there's a few other things mentioned here. So it says, so this is recorded in Ruh al-Ma'ani. The Jews used to say ra'ina to Rasulullah in secret, for it is a term of foul abuse. Then when they heard the companion saying it in public, they started laughing. Allah Ta'ala therefore revealed this verse. Sa'd ibn Ubadah, he then said, O enemies of Allah, may Allah Ta'ala's curse be upon you by the one who holds my soul in his hand. If I ever hear a man amongst you saying that to Rasulullah, I will cut his head. But then they said, you say it. So why can't we say it? Upon which Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse. This is in Ruh al-Ma'ani. So the Jews actually started arguing, because you say it, why can't we say it? But we didn't mean a bad thing by that. We meant it a good thing. Now look what it says at the end of the verse of Surah Baqarah. وَلِلْ كَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ Surah 2 verse 104. For the unbelievers, there is a painful punishment. Meaning, in Safat at-Tafasir, but Sabuni rahmatullah alayh, for the Jews who slandered and abused the messenger, there will be a terrible punishment. So Allah Ta'ala says they're doomed. Because they spoke ill about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala will take you to task immediately if you say anything bad about the Prophet. He goes, they're doomed. Because now a serious punishment is waiting for what the games that they're uttering. So now another thing here, which is very important. Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, he said, and this is in Bayan al-Quran. He goes, this verse teaches Muslims to abstain from any permissible deed if the possibility exists that the deed could lead to a sin. This is important. So now a ruling the scholars have taken from this verse. They say that you should avoid something permissible if it could make other people fall into sin. Have you understood that? You should avoid something permissible if it would make others fall into sin. The Shaykh then said, a Muslim scholar will therefore not be allowed to perform any permissible act which another person may misunderstand, leading him to fall into sin when trying to do the same. Of course, this will only apply to those things that are not compulsory. If anything is compulsory, it will have to be carried out, even though people may misconstrue it. This is a very important ruling for the scholars. They should avoid permissible things if people may fall into the prohibited. So a person goes, can you give me an example of that? Right. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he was looking at the Holy Kaaba one day. This is in Abu Dawud. And he said to Aisha radiallahu anha, if your people were not so close to Jahiliyyah, I would have dismantled the Kaaba and I would have built it on the original foundation. But he didn't do it. Why did he not dismantle the Kaaba, build it on the original foundation? Because the people were too close to Jahiliyyah. So what would ignorantly have people said? He goes, he's destroyed the Kaaba. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he that principle, because I'm not going to do this. This is a good thing, but I don't want people to fall into error. So this is a principle. And here, from this verse, we are taught this as well. And this is why there are certain things in our deen that should not be taught to people who haven't got knowledge. The tasawwuf, wasila, you know, using a means by which to get your needs fulfilled. Some people aren't ready for that. To ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can you ask him from his blessed grave? All these things are wasila. So if you think that people aren't ready, the scholars should say, look, they divert you away from that. And this is why many of the Hanafis don't talk about these things. Right? Why? Because it goes, this is a principle that we need to protect the masses. But when they're learning their deen, then it goes, of course, you can go ahead with this. And also there's a very famous report where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I prohibited you from going to graves, but now I allow you. And then the hadith continues in Sahih Muslim. So why did he prohibit them from going to graves? Isn't it a good thing to go to graves? Yes. Why did he prohibit? Because if you haven't got knowledge, you might end up committing shirk. Same principle. But then when they matured in their deen, the Prophet ﷺ said, now I allow you, because it softens the hearts, you remember the hereafter. So note here, the verses can also be understood here, as mentioned by the blessed scholars. So I'll recite the verses and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم تر إلى الذين أوتوا نصيبا من الكتاب يشترون الضلالة ويريدون أن تضلوا السبيل والله أعلم بأعدائكم وكفى بالله وليا وكفى بالله نصيرا من الذين هادوا يحرفون الكلم عن مواضعه ويقولون سمعنا وعصينا واسمع غير مسمع وراعنا ليا بألسنتهم وطعنا في الدين ولو أنهم قالوا سمعنا وأطعنا واسمع وانظرنا لكان خيرا لهم وأقوم ولكن لعنهم الله بكفرهم فلا يؤمنون إلا قليلا. If you look at the end of verse 46, Allah Ta'ala addresses us by saying, if only they had said, سمعنا وأطعنا, we hear and we obey, واسمع وانظرنا, look at us, hear us, it would have been better for them and more proper. And the companions of the Prophet did all that. They used all those terms for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then Allah Ta'ala says, for them, Allah Ta'ala has cursed these for their unbelief, and only a few of them will believe. And amongst the few was, of course, Abdullah ibn Salam, the rabbi who embraced Islam, radiyallahu. So we pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives me for any errors which I may have inadvertently uttered. Subhana bi hamdi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik wa bi lahi rashidan jim subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr insan lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa aslahu wa wasbasa wa tawaffa.